This is like three sermons, because I went off tangent here, and so I'll say one, then I'll say two, and I'll say three, mini sermons. So we're still talking about righteousness is our foundation, but with that in mind, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Sometimes my writing is like my thinking. I go off on tangents. Anybody else do that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's good. Good company. 2 Peter, chapter 1, look at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtain like precious faith. Say, like precious faith. You have precious faith. With us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. These are pretty powerful scriptures. And then verse 4 says, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Have you taken your part? You are a partaker of his divine nature on the inside of you. Having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. That corruption is spiritual death. The escape is eternal life. Now, with that in mind, go over to Ephesians 2. Look what we've been begotten by him once you got born again. Partaker of his divine nature. In Ephesians 2:12, that at that time, what time? The time you were without Christ. Can you remember that time? This is a better time. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We have a hope in this life. Aren't you glad you're not without hope? No matter how bad this world may become, we know what the end will be. We have a hope in the blessed hope. Look at Titus chapter 2. Look to verse 11. You know, there's a lot of teaching on grace, and how many know we need the grace of God? Yeah. I have never heard one use these scriptures.
Yeah.
Verse 11, for the grace of God, and that we know grace is unmerited favor, but I also see the grace of God being the operational power of God moving on our behalf. Mm-hmm. But now there's something else the grace of God is. That bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now the grace of God is going to teach us something. Denying ungodly and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly when we get to heaven. In this present world. A lot of teaching on grace, right? Grace is not a license to sin, remember? Grace is a license to serve. Looking for that blessed hope. Well, look to verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly now in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself that's not peculiar like odd people. That's a special. Look up the meaning of it. It's a special people. You're a special people, zealous of good works. We have a future, aren't you glad, with Jesus Christ in his home, which is heaven. I'm excited about that, aren't you? And the only thing that concerns me is trying to get more of the family saved, more friends, more of the nation saved. We can't just be for me and my four no more. Because once that decision, and once that, if you die, you don't got no choice. You've made your choice on earth. If you made your choice to accept Christ, you go to heaven. If you didn't make that church, you're going to hell. There's no in-between. You've got to get rid of all those church traditions. You don't got another chance after you leave this earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I thought what my church doctrine says. Well, I'm not concerned about your church doctrine. I'm concerned about the Bible. That's what makes religion a religion, when you start equating tradition with the word. Isn't that right? We have a future with Jesus in his home, heaven. The unbeliever doesn't have this hope. He doesn't have the covenant. So that gives us a responsibility to share that covenant with him. And most people are concerned about doing that because of rejection. I'd rather be rejected and that person get saved, or at least plant a seed, than never say anything to them. You can balance that rejection with the fact that you've already been accepted in the beloved. Isn't that right? Faith is destroyed by sin consciousness. However, faith is built up by righteousness consciousness. Look to Colossians chapter 3. That was the first mini one right there. You want to quit there? Colossians chapter 3. Sometimes we take for granted that we've been saved, and the longer you go on with your salvation, you sometimes take it even more for granted. And then there's others out there that aren't saved at all. We can't take anything for granted, even the word. I can't understand how you don't walk out here with a CD. Take them free. The only thing we charge is for the cover cost. We don't say, you have this special now and these CDs and kick these books in for $175. We're not here to make money on CDs. There so you can reinforce the word and get it in your spirit, because nobody gets it the first time. All you need is one Big Mac attack and your head went. But amen. Just trying to help you out. Colossians chapter 3. I mean, you got CDs in your car, CDs in your computers, CD players anyway. I mean, there's no excuse for not hearing the word this day and hour. Maybe 100 years ago, there still wasn't an excuse, but you got so much technology now. Colossians chapter 3. Our faith is built up and made invincible by righteousness consciousness. So if you're not getting prayers answered, you got to understand. Do you understand the revelation of righteousness? Right? Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to look at verse 11. I find it. There it is. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. I've said this to my wife, and maybe other people I've spoken it to. I have never in my life, since this past election, seeing such hatred and division and criticism. I mean, it says the love of many shall wax cold, talking about their love. Okay, that's in the world, but the body of Christ is fragmented to a degree. Christians still holding ought from 1802. That person had a log cabin house and they died. Now there's a good reason why maybe some of your prayers aren't answered if you're holding unforgiveness, because the word's clear. If you don't forgive, it says neither my heavenly Father in heaven forgive. You got to let it go. Oh, I just don't feel like it. It's nothing to do with your feelings. It's an act of your will. It's a decision. Just do it. Let it go. Then pray for those people. That's how you get over that. You're all going to, every one of us, if this earth has been hurt, offended, betrayed, rejected, that's just the way it is. That's in this world. You'll have those things. They're all designed to separate you from the word. You take that offense and, wow, it'll choke the life of God out of you. Is it worth it? Is it worth your holding on to that? You can't even pray for your own kids? How'd we get in that? Somebody must have needed that today. That's good. See? Put on, therefore, verse 12, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Then you're a married man. Got a lovely wife. Were they short for her? Okay. Do you know that you are not responsible for how she treats you? You didn't like to hear that. That man needs help, I'll tell you right now. Shoot him when you get him home, Alan. Shoot him. Denny. You got to get this. This will put you right up. You are only responsible, really, for how you treat her. And that's not just for Denny and Ellen. That's for each and every one of us. Did you know that? I know you don't like to hear that because you want to say, Pastor, but you just don't know how she treats me. But you're only responsible for how you treat her. Don't give me vain words.
Come on, I bought her a rose on Friday. She's having a bad day. I bought her a flower and took it to her office.
Oh, God bless you, Denny. She just said, what rose?
She is a rose.
That's a sick toss all she had. The dreamy eye. Remember White Rose? We made him a sick toss up a rock. Okay, we're reading on now after we got that all put aside. See, when you say something like that, that's not for Danny. We're just teasing there. But that's for all of us because people don't want to hear that. Me, man, I'm not responsible for how she treats me. Don't you think God could do a little better in dealing with her a lot of times than you do? Okay. Got to have time to meditate. That's got to soak in, you know. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Job chapter 23. Job. Somebody looking for a job? You can confess that. I don't care. You there already, huh? I'm getting there. Job 23 and verse 12. Now, this is something. He says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth, or the word of God. Look at this. More than my necessary food. That's heavy. Anybody catch Lisa Bevere the other night? Lisa Bevere, John Bevere's wife, powerful speaker. They're at a woman's conference. I think it was out in California. Packed, good worship team. But she preached a powerful message. But she says she can't wait. She has. Anyway, she makes her own cappuccinos, and she just described it. I'm thinking, my goodness. And it was a powerful message. Right, Bert? Ephesians chapter 4. Looking at Job's comment about esteeming the words of his mouth more than necessary food, the entire situation of righteousness rests upon our estimation of the word. If we have a low estimation of the word, then we're going to have a low estimation of our righteousness in Christ. We've got to elevate the word. Our faith then will be weak and vacillating. All right, second message, right? Did I already say first up there? All right, that was the first I just finished. Or first and a half. I want to review a little bit. So look at Ephesians 4 from last week. A few points I made, I had to go fast. But can we look at Ephesians 4? You remember those points I made last week, right? That's all right. I'll do that. Ephesians 4. You ready, church? Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify to the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life or Zoe of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, if you're going to use one word for our Christian walk and the way we do things and the way we are estimating things, it's the heart. Amen. And that's why I tell people to protect their heart, because if you keep letting those seeds of bitterness, seeds of unforgiveness, it does something, because the heart is tender. And then all of a sudden you wonder, well, that's why I cannot buy eternal security. You are eternally secure in Christ. I can't buy that you're once saved, always saved, only because of the heart. With the heart you believed and you confessed. Isn't that right? But once that heart, if you allow it to get so hard, you could curse God and die. And you know what? I don't want to even take a chance that you could just live any way you want to and go to heaven, you know, because the only sin there is a rejection of Jesus Christ. But how do you know if you accept him by your will and you got all excited for a while, then all of a sudden some things went bad for you? And then inevitably people want to blame God, and Jesus comes to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And don't you think the devil gets a big kick out of you blaming God for what he's doing to you? Injecting those seeds of bitterness or offense or misunderstanding. Someone said something to you, and you didn't know what they meant, you got offended by it. But if you can accept them, your will, and it'll affect the heart, you got to keep this heart tender. The eyes don't want to believe any of you're going to walk away from them. Isn't that right? And if you know somebody that's hurting, go to them. They're going to lie to you at first, but you'll be able to discern that. And nobody wants to say, no, I'm not really in love with the Lord anymore. Okay, it got quiet here. I didn't mean to go in that direction, but someone needed to hear that, to be honest with you. All right, we're in Ephesians still, aren't we? Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you, that's you, have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's what the new man's created in. Aren't you thankful? Okay, failure, mistakes, sins of the past have kept many believers in bondage. And these are believers. And these are, you know, when people, when I first went to the first Pentecostal I went to, I mean, three times a week, and we got Brother Ron turned around, thank God, but he was just taught what he was taught, New Line Pentecostal. Man, we took a beating Wednesday. Like, for example, Wednesday night, you know what? Shouldn't there be more people here? And he was saying that to the people that are already there. Well, obviously, there should be more people there, you know. Then one time he preached on the unpardonable sin. And people ran to the altar. I think the first one run up there was Uncle Pete. Probably good for him. And what would be the unpardonable sin in your estimation, the preacher? What would be the unpardonable sin? Blaspheming the Holy Ghost. But what is it really doing? You're rejecting Christ could be the unpardonable sin, right? Your heart got so hard and you rejected Christ. No? Anyhow, don't be bored yet. Failure, past mistakes, past sins have kept many believers in bondage. How you and I respond to failure and mistakes is one of the most important decisions we'll ever make every day. Failure doesn't mean that nothing has been accomplished. There is always the opportunity to learn something. How many of you know that we all experience failure and mistakes? Now, Jerry Savelle, he taught a message about not quitting or something. But it was really funny. People fall, but then they arise. But he was preaching. I mean, he was a fiery. He was going up and down the stage and everything. He fell over and into the bass drum. And he's just stuck in there. And he's having this conversation with the Lord. What am I going to do now? He said, get up. Yeah, but that's embarrassing. I fell into the drum. He said, but get up. It's more embarrassing if you stay in there than if you get up. So he got up and he walked, and the one lady said, well, what happened to you? I saw you got, you okay? You got sin in your life? You fell in there. She said, but I got up. Because people will concentrate on the fall and not the arising, right? It was funny the way he said it, but you get the picture, right? You'll find that throughout history, all great people at some point in their lives have experienced failure. Only those who do not expect anything are never disappointed. Only those who never try never fail. Anyone who is currently achieving anything in life is simultaneously risking failure. It's always better to fail in something than to excel in doing nothing. There's a positive correlation between spiritual maturity and how quickly a person responds to his failures and mistakes. He could just let it go and let them beat them over his head, but don't do that. The greater the degree of spiritual maturity, the greater ability to get back up and go on as if you fell into the bass drum. Get up. The less spiritual mature, the longer the individual will continue to hang on to past failures. God doesn't see you as a failure. He never sees you as a failure. He sees you as a learner. We have only failed when we do not learn from that experience. And that decision is up to us. All right, Deuteronomy 30. Time went fast here. Deuteronomy 30. And verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Then he gives you a hint. It's like an open book test. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and length of thy days. Excuse me, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Isn't that beautiful? We can choose to turn a failure into a hitching post or a guidepost. Okay? A guidepost is a post with a directional sign placed at an intersection in the fork in a road. It gives you the way to go. Here's the key to being free from the stranglehold of past failures and mistakes. Learn the lesson and forget the details. Okay, I'm going to finish with this. Isaiah 43. Verse 18. Excuse me. Flo, how you doing? Back to work yet? Please hurry up. I got pants to let out. You're doing good, though, right? Your husband helping you out a lot, too, huh? Okay, that was very low and unenthusiastic. Okay. God bless you, Flo. Thank you. Good to hear that. Good lady. Isaiah 43. You need these scriptures, church. Verse 18. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Some of you better claim that he's going to do a new thing and quit dwelling on the old, because he will do that. He'll do a new thing. We must believe that God cannot lie, and that means his word cannot lie. So when he says he'll do a new thing, he can't lie. The word is our contract or covenant with God. Isn't that right? Now I want you to just, if you didn't get anything, get this. It's more than a legal covenant. It is a living covenant. This wasn't sealed with the blood of bulls and goats. Our covenant was sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. It's alive forevermore. Amen. Let's stand. Praise the Lord.